Mr. and Mrs. Aaron Deese were watching late television from Memphis when they heard Michael's voice calling and getting closer. Mr. Deese met the boy at the front door. His pajamas were soaked with sweat and dew, and his teeth were chattering so violently he had trouble speaking.
"He hurt my mommy," he kept saying. "He hurt my mommy."
Through the darkness between the two houses, Mr. Deese saw Teresa running after her brother. She was almost running in place, as if she wanted to get to one place without leaving the other. When Mrs. Deese finally got to her by the Deese garage, she was sucking her thumb and unable to speak. Mr. Deese raced into his den and grabbed two shotguns, one for him, one for his wife. The children were in the kitchen, shocked to the point of being paralyzed.
"He hurt my mommy," Michael kept saying.
Mrs. Deese cuddled them, told them everything would be fine. She looked at her shotgun when her husband laid it on the table. "Stay here," he said as he rushed out of the house. He did not go far. Rhoda almost made it to the Deese home before she collapsed in the wet grass. She was completely naked and from the neck down covered in blood. He picked her up and carried her to the front porch, then shouted at his wife to move the children toward the back of the house and lock them in a bedroom. He could not allow them to see their mother in her last moments. As he placed her in the swing, Rhoda whispered,
"Danny Paget. It was Danny Paget."
He covered her with a quilt, then called an ambulance. Danny Paget kept his pickup in the center of the road and drove 90 miles an hour. He was half drunk and scared as hell, but unwilling to admit it. He'd be home in 10 minutes, secure in the family's little kingdom known as Paget Island. Those little faces had ruined everything. He'd think about it tomorrow. He took a long pull on the fifth of Jack Daniels and felt better. It was a rabbit or a small dog or some varmint, and when it darted from the shoulder, he caught a glimpse of it and reacted badly. He instinctively hit the brake pedal, just for a split second, because he really didn't care what he hit and rather enjoyed the sport of road killing. But he had punched too hard. The rear tires locked, and the pickup fishtailed. Before he realized it, Danny was in serious trouble. He jerked the wheel one way, the wrong way, and the truck hit the gravel shoulder where it began to spin like a stock car on the backstretch. It slid into the ditch, flipped twice, then crashed into a row of pine trees. If he had been sober, he would have been killed. But drunks walk away. He crawled out through a shattered window and for a long while leaned on the truck, counting his cuts and scratches and considering his options. A leg was suddenly stiff, and as he climbed up the bank to the road, he realized he could not walk far. Not that he would need to. The blue lights were on him before he realized it. The deputy was out of the car, surveying the scene with a long black flashlight. More flashing lights appeared down the road. The deputy saw the blood, smelled the whiskey, and reached for the handcuffs.